Today, my nephew Chris and I talk about the reel he made, questions my mom would ask me since she passed away. He created it as his mom's diagnosis day was nearing, and he saw a trend on TikTok that tugged at his heart. I asked if I could share it on Daughters Without Moms. He said yes, and it went viral. And since this is episode number 44, we thought it would be appropriate. If you know, you know. Hi, this is Beth, and welcome back to the Daughters Without Moms podcast. Although today I don't have a daughter without a mom, today I have my nephew here, Chris. Chris, unfortunately, is a son without a mom because my sister is his mom, will forever be his mom, even if she's not physically with us anymore. And Christopher is the person behind the reel that probably led a lot of you to this podcast because it blew up. Christopher created the reel with the title that said questions I think my mom would ask me since she passed away. And, you know, I actually think that that was posted in, it was posted in at the end of October because I shared it on Amy's diagnosis day. So it's been a good 6 weeks since it posted and it is still getting likes and watches and all of the things. Let me just tell you the impact that this has had on my tiny little Daughters Without Moms profile here. That reel that I shared has 2.6 million views. Million people, 2.6 million views. It has over 6,300 comments. And I went from just reaching about 1,000 followers, I think, to over 12,000 followers now. So welcome to all of you that are here from watching my nephew's reel. So he has graciously agreed to come on today and just to talk about the reel. We're not going to talk about his journey with losing my sister because it's still pretty new for them. But he did agree to come on and share about the reel because I'm not technically savvy. Like, this is as good as it gets here, jumping on Zoom and recording podcasts. So I don't know all the ins and outs behind it, but so he's going to share some of that with us today. So thanks, Chris, for saying yes.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and getting to talk to you. So yeah, thank you for inviting me on.
Well, I sincerely appreciate it. I tried to ask him to be my social media manager, but he's already busy. He has a full-time job. And quite honestly, he ended up being my social media manager in one reel. So but this thing just went viral. And Chris and I were talking a little bit before we started recording because you originally did it on TikTok, right?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
And I'm not on TikTok and your sister shared it, which then I saw it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, Chris, can I share this? And your TikTok video had a lot of views, but it didn't go viral like mine. And you said, well, that's probably because of my audience, the Daughters Without Moms audience. But I don't know, this thing took and yeah, found an Instagram algorithm that liked it and it just took off. So tell me, what made you decide to make the reel?
Yeah, so I think that night I was just feeling particularly more sad about my mom and not having her here with me around that time that I made the TikTok on my account was coming up on her 10, I think it was 10 years since she had been diagnosed, or maybe 11. But it was, I was just getting more sad about it and wanting to have an outlet, I guess. So my outlet was scrolling through emotional TikToks and like trying to trigger sadness, I guess, to let something out. And I found that sound of the TikTok, and a lot of people had made pretty like emotional videos about friendships, talking to them, their younger selves, what questions they think that their younger version would ask just to see where they are now. So it was just a beautiful kind of sound that had a lot of great videos attached to it. And I found one that particularly made me really emotional. It was a video that a girl had made where her and her best friend, as they grew up, what questions they would ask themselves now that they're older. So, like, are they still best friends? Yes. Do we still ride horses? No, but we got boyfriends. All these great questions that showed them growing up through life together. And then at the end, it said, did we get tattoos like we said? And the girl said, you didn't, but I did. And then it showed that she had gotten the tattoo in honor of her best friend who had passed away. So once I saw that, I probably cried a ton after seeing that. So that was kind of what made it persuaded me, I guess, to like make my own version of it because it really connected with me. And I wanted to kind of have that same conversation with my mom because it felt good to imagine what it would be like if she were talking to me. So
So did that it just happened that night? You were
yeah.
scrolling and like and you just created that in one night.
Yeah, I was already, it was like after work, after dinner probably, that I was getting emotional. I think it was probably like 9 or 10 p.m. So I was watching all these TikToks, and then that one really clicked with me. So I followed the same kind of format that she had done, but used the same sound. And then I stayed up till like 1:30 in the morning, probably making it. So, and I just
Okay.
posted it then.
Wow. Because, like, the people that I have talked to that have said that it just touched their hearts, I'm like, he probably spent hours picking out those pictures because it was like you literally picked the most perfect pictures for your questions.
Yeah. I
So it
did.
wasn't like you had a folder and you were like for weeks, this is why I don't do that kind of stuff. It would have taken me forever.
Yeah. So my process for that was I already had an album on my phone that I've organized through just years, I guess, of collecting all the pictures of my mom that I had. So I knew that I could go to that album to find great pictures of her. And then the rest of the pictures I had included there were just some recent pictures of like me and my sister. The picture of my dad and I at Virginia Tech was a recent trip that we took down there. And then your picture of you skiing, I was like, I don't have any single pictures of you on my phone. So I went to your Facebook and found that one there. And I figured that you would be okay with it. I didn't, well, it was 1:30 in the morning, so I wasn't going to ask you, but I was like, I think she would appreciate this anyways. So
Oh yeah, I loved being included. I felt honored to be included in it. But yeah, the pictures that you picked, and let's just confirm to everybody, he did not go to Penn State. That was just a shirt in one of the pictures. He is a Hokie. So shout out to all the Hokies that commented on your reel. But yeah, the pictures you just picked were just so awesome. And I do some research about trying to stay relevant on social media, and I see some people say, oh, like posting a video of pictures is out. Well, we're here to tell you it is not, because every single one, it was just pictures, right? They were all pictures. Yeah, it was all pictures turned into a video. But the pictures that you chose were just great, just beautiful. I really, really love them. So, okay. So it was a trend, because I asked Chris before we started recording, is this a trend? And I don't really understand what that means, but you explained what that means. Because some of the people commented, well, you won this trend, which I'm not on TikTok, so I had no idea about it. But I love the spin that you took. And we have had a couple people who have used it, says that it's the daughters without moms soundbite. But it's just because I shared your video, but a couple people have done the same. And yeah, we've been able to see that because it used that video, the audio, but that's been really cool to see too, other people doing the same thing, just because it connected so well.
I think that was one of my favorite parts of you having posted the video and it gaining so much traction was seeing that other people started to use the sound to share their own stories of people that they've loved that have passed away and having that same conversation with them. It was great to see that because I could just put myself in their shoes and I know how I felt when I was creating the video. It helped me get those emotions out that I was looking to. And I think by the end of the time that I finished creating the video, it was just making me happy because I got to imagine myself having that conversation. So I'm glad that other people took that video and wanted to have their own story with it. So I loved seeing those videos that people made.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you said that. Like, I was wondering how, you know, you said during that night that you were looking for emotional videos to kind of trigger, you know, those feelings in you, and then you did it. And then after you finished, you just said you did feel better.
Yeah. I think that, like, I mean, while I was making the video, I was crying the whole time. I watched, like, every time I would add a picture or some sort of question that she would have asked me. All of those were very, like, emotional and meaningful things that I would have wanted my mom to know. But overall, it really helped me with my grief and wanting to have that outlet. So it was a great way to have that put out into the world. And I wasn't really making it with any intention for it to blow up or go viral. On TikTok, it's so random if that ever happens. So I was just kind of doing it on my own, and I wanted to have that video for myself. And I posted it on my account, which is mostly just friends following me. So it got a little bit of traction, like you said, but it was just nice to have, like, a time where I was thinking about my mom and doing something that made me, like, reminisce, I guess. And it felt good having that conversation. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And I think it just goes to show, you know, that everybody grieves differently and everybody processes grief differently. And yeah, like you said, you totally didn't create this as for any other purpose other than your own processing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's sure apparent that we all needed it, because so many people have connected to it, and complete strangers is what some of the comments have been like. I don't even know you and your family, and I'm like ugly crying right now. You know,
yeah.
Lots of the comments have been just about how it reached people in their hearts. So that was one of the things, like, I was wondering, you know, so besides being your aunt, I'm also a mom, and could most certainly say to you that I would know how proud that she is of you. But there were so many different kind of comments that people made on the reel, over 6,000. Were there any in particular, not like one specific comment, but any sort of generalization of comments that you were happy to see or that touched you?
Yeah, I think the most touching comments were the ones from people who were saying, like, as you mentioned, a stranger that would say, you know, I don't know you or your family, but I can tell you for sure that your mom is proud of you, that she's still watching over you, and she knows all this already. So I think I've read one like that where she's like, oh, she already knows this. And it, at first I was a little caught off guard by the writing of it, but then, like, I read it again and kind of processed it more, and I felt, like, comforted by it, you know. It's not like they were dismissing my reasoning for making a video, but reinforcing the idea that, you know, you can still talk to your mom all the time, and she's aware of what's going on in your life, even though she might not be, you know, here with you physically, but you always have that person with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ones that I saw over and over again was that, man, it was happy and sad all at the same time. Many people said, you know, that this made me sad, but also was like the best part of my day.
Yeah.
Lots of, this is the best video I've ever seen. This is, you know, by far the best reel ever. Reel of the decade, I saw on one. And I think you just perfectly touched that mix of happy and sad, you know. Because I mean, it ended up being happy for you at the end, because you were able to process your feelings and, you know, feel like you were having a conversation with Amy. But it is, you know, sad that you've had now You've had it'll be 3 years in January, you know, without her, these things that have happened in your life without her. And there's some sort of, I'm not going to find the right word for it, but there's some sort of sweet synergy between, like, sometimes those are our best moments in our lives. Like, we talked a lot about sometimes some of my best times with Amy was in the hospital, just because, like, it was, they were the most bittersweet, but also the most real times that we had together. Because when you're in the hospital for days on end and hours on end, and you're making tea at 4 a.m., yeah, you know, I don't know what the right word for it is, but it's beautiful and sad and sweet all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, that was my emotions throughout the video. And every time I watch it still, yeah, you definitely wish that you could have that question answered by her. You know, and if I were calling her on the phone or talking to her in person, but having the ending, you know, where I was able to tell her that I am happy, you know, even though she isn't with me anymore and I wish she was, I've been able to, you know, share with her the moments of my life since then that provide that happiness. So I think that was kind of a good feeling, you know, seeing other people say that they, you know, they think it might be sad, but it also made them happy. That's how I felt when I saw the first video of the girl who made that with, about her best friend. And I saw like three other ones of people making it with those kind of stories. And it just really grabbed onto me. And I had the same reaction. You know, I think I cried for those TikToks I saw. And I have no idea who they are, but they made me feel that emotion. So I wanted to make that to have with my mom, and you know, it's been really special to me that people have connected with it in the same way and been able to feel that sadness that I felt, but also, you know, have that feeling of pride or happiness, even though she's passed away. So it's really been touching to know that so many people have seen the story of me, but most importantly my mom. That's really what I wanted to get across in the video. So I'm glad that so many people have seen the beautiful person that my mom was.
Yeah, you should connect with that girl on TikTok. It'd be interesting for you to be like, listen, this is what I did based on watching yours, you know what I mean? Just because then she would kind of know that she had the same kind of impact on you, you know, and for her to see what you did based on being inspired by her. One of the other several people also commented that I saw that said, wow, I'm going to call my mom right now and tell her that I love her. And I thought, you know, that's really cool too, because until you've experienced the loss of someone that you love, you know, you go through life kind of with the rose colored lenses, which is great, which is I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but boy, your lenses definitely change after the loss, like what you've experienced. So I think, you know, it's not that it was done in any judgmental or, you know, condemning kind of way, but just to say, hey, you know, yeah, if your mom's still here and she's a good person, tell her you love her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love
I'm glad that people thought that, you know, that was a reaction for some people. I mean, I didn't want anybody to do that, but I mean, I'm glad that people thought that and maybe followed up with actually talking to their mom. I know, like, just from my own experience with being younger and my mom passing away at like a young age, I guess, I wish that I would have talked to her more. And I have a lot of friends, you know, most of their moms are still alive. So anytime I have a friend around me and they're upset with their mom or complaining, you know, I don't say it a lot, but sometimes I'll just be like, you know, you should be nice to your mom or something like that. Like, so, I don't know. I don't ever want to like push my experience on people, but, you definitely do become appreciative and stuff. Like once your mom has passed away, and you wish you would have had more conversations with her. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. So, you know, I had started to say earlier that everybody grieves differently. And that's the one thing that if I've learned since starting the podcast and the Daughters Without Moms profile and stuff is that, first of all, there's no right or wrong way to grieve. And that we all grieve differently. And like with your family, with Amy being gone, with your mom being gone, so it left you, your sister, and your dad. And I think naturally this happens when there's only one female left. Like your sister tries to become the maternal person in the family, which can then, you know, like cause a triangle that nobody wants, but she feels that's what she feels like she should do. And everybody just, you know, grieves differently. Some people don't like to talk. Some people do like to talk. Some people like to write. Some people like to draw. And I just love that you found this outlet, that you found, yeah, that you found something that felt good for you. Yeah.
I agree. I completely agree with you saying, everyone grieves differently. I think within our family, you, my sister, my dad, all of our cousins, like your kids, everyone has gone about the grief process for my mom passing away differently. Especially, I think me and my sister are very different. I don't really outwardly like express any sort of, things other than this video. That was kind of my one big time that I wanted to say something, but I mean, I wasn't intending for it to be big, but I feel like I mostly keep to myself and have memories that come to my mind all the time, and that's how I've processed my grief. I'll never get over this, but I'll get through it, so. Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm glad that I had this way to share it as well. For me, it was amazing and made me feel like very happy towards the end of it. So, yeah, I agree, and I'm glad that so many other people were able to connect with it as well.
And now you have it forever, you know? And in 5 years, 10 years, you know, when you look at it again, you'll be like, wow, you know, that was so cool then, but you'll probably have to make other ones then to, you know, update what goes on in your life, or maybe, you know, you'll find different ways to be able to, you know, find a way to connect your grief in a way that's honoring to Amy and to your own self, you know. Because that's one thing, like, you know, as being your aunt and someone who loves you, you know, I have reached out to both you and your sister and to you specifically and said, you know, what can I do that's helpful to you? I don't want to try to push what works for me on you. What can I do to be supportive of you and show you that I love you? And you're always so kind. And you say, I know you love me, but it's just that's an acknowledgement of the way that everybody grieves differently. And just as a parent too, like I've realize that I have to be aware of the receiving end of the relationship too. Do you know what I mean? Like I can't just always plow forward thinking that we're all on the same page and that everybody understands. Like as my kids become adults, I've had lots of conversations and been like, okay, listen, this is going to be, I don't want you to think that I think this, or, you know, it's Thanksgiving and you have to come home. I understand if you're going here, you know, it's just all those things that happen as relationships grow together and people, you know, get older and things, relationships, they have new relationships and stuff. I'm not saying this very well, but I'm just saying that I want, you know, we all do grieve differently and there's no right or wrong way. And I am just super glad that you did that and that it felt so good to you. So you were 20, correct? When Amy passed away. And so just, you know, like I said, we're not going to go into his experience of losing his mom, but just if there was anything that you would want to share with others who maybe have already had loss at your age or may experience loss at your age, like, is there anything you'd want to share?
I mean, to those who might have already lost, somebody in their life that is a very important figure to them, as my mom was to me, I think what I did. I don't know. It's kind of hard to encapsulate it into one single, process or anything. But I mean, I think my reaction then and still is just to look at whatever sort of memories I have, like memorialized of her in a sense, like my mom's Facebook, I go to a lot and I read through what other people have said and what she had posted while she was alive. And being able to read her voice and know how it was that she talked, that makes me feel, all, a bunch of emotions. But at the end of the day, like I feel good, remembering who it was that my mom was as a person and getting to see her life, almost trying to imagine all the pieces of it together by looking at old photographs from before I was alive, that is, I think, what brings me the most amount of emotion and helps me grieve over her passing. So, I mean, that's just personal method I've always kind of relied on is looking at photos and reading text messages and Facebook posts. Those have helped me a lot because it's great hearing her voice through those and then hearing what others had experienced with their relationship with her. So I've really enjoyed that.
That's good. And the benefit for you is that Amy was a photographer, so you have lots of pictures to look back at least from certainly from the time that you guys were born and on. And I also have gone back to her Facebook some. I'm so grateful now how open she was about her cancer journey because she did share a lot of some pretty deep thoughts about how she felt about things on her Facebook page.
Those posts have been very emotional and touching for me to know how she was feeling in those, very important times throughout her cancer journey, especially to the end. I think a lot of times Jen was posting on her behalf on Facebook, but still providing updates that my mom, was telling her. So it was interesting too, as I read through the Facebook, especially towards the end of my mom's life, still providing those updates to everyone who wanted to be informed. You can hear her voice and stuff kind of change, even though it's just text, like paragraphs and everything. You can realize, she's not as cognitive as she was before. But I think even though those are really hard to read for me, because it kind of makes me realize how much of a struggle it was and a fight that she was putting up, it also reminds me of how hard it was that she fought to be here for so long. And that, makes me again remember how amazing my mom was. And I think it's hard to realize that when you're young. And my mom was diagnosed when I was like 11 years old. So I've kind of had that been my memory my whole life. So at the beginning, I really didn't even know how serious it was just because I couldn't really process that as a child. So seeing those posts now as an older, I mean, I'm not really that much of an adult, but like I'm an adult, I guess. So now I can understand it more. And I appreciate my mom's journey and how hard she fought. So,
She sure did. She sure did. Just one thing that I'll say to you is that I recently went through some people who are going through some hard times physically and emotionally, and that and there was just this heaviness that surrounded the whole situation, which is normal. But one thing that your mom always did is that she always, like, it was never heavy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, have you ever experienced that? Like, it felt like a weight was like on me with this experience that I had recently. And it was never, and not never, there were heavy times because she went through some pretty significant procedures and things, but she never made it heavy. It was always, like she, boy, that's what I look back on and go, for 9 years, like, That she was able to make it to be in a way that, you know, we all might have been camping out in ICU for 3 weeks, but it was, you know, like I said, some of my favorite times were those deep, dark moments in ICU.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely was amazing throughout her whole journey. I think for me, being raised by her through that whole time, I never really felt like she had cancer, which is crazy, you know. And I think about it now, and I mean, probably more recently, I thought about it a lot right after she passed away, but how lucky I felt being raised by her, and to me felt pretty normal. You know, I was going to like lacrosse practice and she was going to chemo, and that's just what we did. It felt like we had our routines almost. And I mean, I don't know. I think it just speaks to her strength that, she really still gave me and my sister so much love within our house, and, you know, fought to be there to raise us like that. So I'm very proud of her.
Yeah. She had an amazing will to live. Her body just was depleted, is the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
Her body just was exhausted of all the resources that, you know, 9 years of treatment will have on a body. But boy, she had a remarkable will to live. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thanks again for blowing up my Daughters Without Moms and bringing all the new followers here, and for sharing with us today.
It's great speaking with you. I'm so glad I got to be on the podcast.
If you'd like more information on my thoughts about the grief journey, please visit my website, www.yourgriefjourney.com. If you'd be interested in sharing your story on the podcast, please send me an email to daughterswithoutmoms@gmail.com.